This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star
Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Well, welcome to Wairarapa.
Welcome to Wairarapa. And before we start anything, we have a really great news. We finally got our plate, our number plate for our car.
Which is Wairarapa.
Which is Wairarapa.
Yeah. So if you see Wairarapa driving around the Wairarapa, that's us.
Yay. But we weren't home, so we have to go and pick them up.
Yeah, well, that's the job for today. So they're almost on the car, but by the time you hear this, they will be on the car.
Which is very, very exciting because we have started this radio show long, long time ago. And then it's quite hard to juggle work and stargazing and traveling around the country. And so we have the amazing support from Marina, who has been there for us for how long now? Probably
a few years now.
Yeah. And she's been absolutely fabulous and supporting us and helping with the production and everything. So today we're just reflecting a little bit of how important it is to have a really great team to help you and support you when you need. So thanks to her work and the amazing work of people from, you know, the radio that is making this possible. We're on air.
And yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. So thank you, guys.
And of course, it gives voice to so many other people in the community as well. So it's a huge, huge part of the community and really, really valuable. So great work, Arrow FM.
And
thank you.
And thank you. And thank you, Marina. And
in particular.
Yeah. In particular. Yeah.
Well, putting up with our schedule changes.
Yeah. So it's been like an amazing journey. Amazing.
Yeah.
So.
Today we thought we'd talk about how, because we get a lot of questions at stargazing, like how do we know how far away something is? How do we know how hot a star is? How do we know how old a star cluster is? How do we know different? How do we know it's a star and not a planet? How do we know that's a planet? How do we know what the shimmering of those stars is? You know,
do we know?
Yeah. How do we know all this stuff? And it's really interesting. In fact, the answer is actually quite complex. But the answer on how do we know all this stuff, it goes back a long, long time. And, of course, how we know all this stuff is simply just by looking at light that arrives here on Earth. And for most of our existence, that's looking at the light that arrives on the surface of the Earth. So it has to go through space, which turns out has quite a lot of stuff in it, and then through the atmosphere, which turns out to be quite annoying, actually. And then finally gets to our instruments, which are on the ground. Now, more recently, of course, we've lobbed stuff into space. So we've taken out the segment where it has to go through the atmosphere, which has been quite handy.
And, you know, this is, for me, and I'm only talking personally because we all have our own experiences. When I started first looking at astronomy and trying to understand and learn what is going on up there in the sky, it was insane. The fact that all we know is by looking at the light that comes from all these objects. Mm. I mean, how weird is that?
It's just bizarre. And you can unpick so much stuff just by looking at that light.
And not just astronomy, but the basis of the modern science, which are based on astronomy. And of course, I'm very biased when I say that. Are because people looked at the star that comes from those tiny little dots that we see in the night sky. So,
yeah.
So how do we know what we know? How do we know For example, that's a very it's a frequent question we get. How do we know how far away stars are?
Well, this is a really good question. How do we know how far away stars are? Now, it's quite a topical one. There's I can't remember the name of the star. What was the first star that was measured? It was just measured recently by Gaia as well. Anyway, so I think it was sometime when photography was starting to get reasonably good. You know, some of the most early photographs taken were actually of the moon for a telescope. They weren't very good, but they would have been amazing, you know, for the time. A little while later, though, of course, people were starting to take photographs of stars in telescopes. And what you could do is you could get a pretty good picture. And using a thing called parallax, you could actually measure the distance to a star, which is quite tricky to do. And so one of the very first stars ever measured and using this method was a star called 61 Cygni, I think it is. And actually, what's really cool is there's a space mission just finished, and it's a spacecraft that was launched in 2016 called Gaia, and we've talked about it quite a bit on this show. And what that it was built by the European Space Agency. Very quiet mission. Like, it's astronomers know a lot about it, but the members of the public don't, because they haven't done a lot on the PR side. But this mission was probably one of
Doesn't
the
have pretty colors, that's fine.
Yeah, this wise. It collects a lot of data, and basically, what it does is it looks at well, looked at big patches of the sky and looked at all the lights. Now, in space, lots of stuff makes light. Stars, of course, are the obvious ones, but then there's stuff that generates its own light. So stars, gas, hot gas clouds. You've got black holes that might be munching on gas around them that creates light, and then you've got stuff that reflects light. So you've got like asteroids and things like that. So your moons and planets and things, they reflect light. So light sort of can come from lots of different sources. So if you take a picture of this night sky, you're going to see lots of dots and fuzzy blobs and, you know, gas, extensive gas clouds, those sorts of things. And so that's what Gaia did. It looked at all these lights, and then basically it just basically catalogued them, measured all these little dots to try and work out what they were. And in the process of doing that, it's catalogued about 3.5 billion stars and piles of other things, quasars, all sorts of different objects up in space, which is pretty amazing. But anyway, one of its key things it did was measuring these distances to stars using this thing called parallax. Now, parallax is fundamentally, it's quite simple. If you put your finger out at the end of your arm in front of you, and you sort of look at it, and then and just look at it with one eye, and then swap the eyes around, you'll see that your finger appears to move against the stuff in the background. So
Against the wardrobe.
against, yeah, in our case, against the wardrobe. Now, of course, how much your finger appears to move is actually directly proportional to the distance between your eyes, right? So, but that's a really important thing. Now, if you could make that gap between your eyes really big, as in millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of kilometers, then that amount your finger's going to move against the background, you basically your finger can be a long, long way away, and you're going to detect movement.
And it would move differently, also because it would be further or closer to your eye, right? So
Yeah,
if you keep
so
your
if
finger
so if
closer.
you're So if you put your finger really close to your eye, your finger moves a lot against the background. And if you move your finger further away, it moves a little bit less against the background. Now, careful you don't poke yourself in the eye while you're doing this. Yeah. You might have to wear safety glasses. But so yeah, so don't get your finger too close. But far enough away, you'll see your finger doesn't move much. And if you imagine if your finger was on the end of a pole, that would hurt. So don't try this. But if maybe not your finger, maybe a picture of your finger on the end of a pole that was a few meters long. There's a point where you're barely going to see your finger move at all. Now, and this is the problem with stars, right? So when you look at stars with your eye, and you sort of move your eyes, change from looking your left eye to your right eye, well, you're not going to see stars move at all, because they're simply too far away. You're not going to see planets move either doing that, because the gap between your eyes isn't much. So what we have to do is we have to increase that gap between our eyes. And the easiest way to do this is not use our eyes, because you can't increase that gap, basically. But you can take a photo of the sky. So when cameras were invented and chucked on the end of telescopes, you could take a photo of the sky and wait 6 months. Now, a cool thing happens in 6 months.
It's my birthday.
In 6 months?
Yeah.
Yes, well, yes. Yeah. But not every 6 months, right? So in a six-month period, the Earth travels around the sun. Of course, it's traveling around the sun all the time, about 30 kilometers per second. So it goes pretty quick. But it goes a long way. You know, the journey around the sun is 1 billion kilometers. So wait 6 months, we go on our 500 million kilometer journey around the sun, and we're all of a sudden on the other side of the sun. Now, we're 150 million kilometers from the sun, which is quite a long way. So if we're going all the way around the sun to the other side, then we're 300 million kilometers from where we were 6 months ago. Now, that's a big baseline. So imagine that's the gap that we've created, if you like, between our eyes. So we take a photo, and then 6 months later, take another photo. And what we see when you look at these photos, the closest stars move just a tiny bit against background objects. Now, of course, all the stars are actually moving when you do that a little bit. So some of the closer ones are all going to move. So how do you tell which ones are the ones moving against the other background ones, if you know what I mean? Well, you have to pick stuff that's incredibly distant. And so what we have these days is we use quasars. So these are objects which are bright, they're shining. And you know, in a photographic plate, they might look a little bit like a star, but they're definitely not stars. What they are is objects that are incredibly distant. They're millions, sometimes even billions of light years away. So there's no way we can measure their parallax, because they don't move at all because they're so, so far away. Maybe if it's like having your finger on that really long pole, they're just not going to move. But the closest stuff in our galaxy, which is closer relatively, that's going to move compared to those super distant objects. So as long as you know where these super distant objects are and you've got stars like relatively visually close to them, then you're going to see those stars move relative to those most distant objects. And if you measure that movement, you get an angular measurement. And it'll be... And this is where it gets a bit, well, you have to use a bit of maths.
A trillionth of a billionth of a...
Yeah, well, not much. They don't move much. So in a circle, if you spun around in a circle, you're going to traverse through 360 degrees as you spin all the way around, right? So you imagine that. You spin around in a circle, and you don't fall over, so be careful. Make sure there's plenty of room. Poke your arm out and spin around, and your arm will trace 360 degrees all the way around, right? So that's like maths. So that's,
easy.
Yeah. Now, every one of those, so there's 360 of those degrees that fit around that circle, right? Now, every...
It's like a year, 360 days.
Just about. So every one of those degrees, you can break them up into minutes, which they do. Now, this is not a time measure. This is an angle measure. So you can break those up into minutes. So there's 60 minutes in 360 in each degree of those 360 degrees. So that's quite a lot of minutes, right? Now, you can break those minutes up, so it gets even smaller, into seconds. So a second is, you know, 1/60th of a minute, and a minute is 1/60th of a degree, and a degree is 1/360th of all the way around. So it's not much, right? And we call that an arc second. It's a tiny amount, tiny, tiny little bit of space. It's really little. Now, to give you an idea of how big that is, if you stretch your arm out and you hold your little finger up, your little finger traces out about 1 degree. So imagine your little finger being chopped into 60 bits. That's 1 minute. And then one of those little bits chopped into 60 further little tiny bits. That's 1 arc second. That's quite amazing. Now, when we look in the telescope at a star called Alpha Centauri, we see two stars, Alpha Centauri A, Alpha Centauri B. Now, they're 3 arc seconds apart.
We don't see Beta Centauri, as many people ask.
No, we don't. So anyway, those are 3 arc seconds apart, and we can see that gap in a telescope in good conditions, powerful telescope. Well, in fact, you don't even have to have that powerful telescope to see this.
Binoculars? Can you see them?
No, they wouldn't quite have the aperture, I don't think. I don't think I've seen it split in binoculars. Maybe we have. No, I'll have to have a look, actually. Mm. Normally, we just get used to looking in the big telescope. But anyway, the gap between those stars is 3 arc seconds. Which is not much. So, you know, that's not much. Now, to measure these stars when they're moving in these photographs, they take from one side of the Earth and then wait 6 months, take another side. These stars are moving in thousandths of an arc second. So imagine that. You've got your degree. You broke into 60 minutes. Then you've broken that each one of those degrees into 60 seconds. Well, now you're breaking each of those seconds into 1,000 little parts. And some of these stars are only moving a few arc seconds, which is quite amazing. So they're not moving much. So you need some pretty powerful instruments. You need some very good photography, and to be able to measure those changes. But anyway, some of these stars they'll move 2 or 3 arc seconds, some even more. Of course, the more arc seconds they move, the closer they are, the less arc seconds they move
And this movement
during
is
their way.
called the proper motion of stars.
Oh no, this is parallax.
Oh, the
No,
parallax.
this is parallax. This isn't the movement of the stars. So this is just how they appear to move
Oh,
from
yeah.
as we're taking. It's like when your finger moves, your finger's not. Well, if you're holding your finger still, your finger's not moving.
So we're doing these measurements as we travel around the sun, and you said we travel around the sun at 30 kilometers per second. And now, because we just got the new speed limit back increased to 100 kilometers an hour here on our roads, if you calculate 30 kilometers per second and kilometers per hour, you add 3 more zeros to the speed, to the new speed limit. So it would be 100,000 kilometers per hour. That's how fast the Earth moves around the sun every hour.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. Yeah.
So we travel at that incredible speed of 100,000 kilometers an hour and measuring tiny, tiny little things.
Yeah. So it's quite amazing. So and so of course to get to the problem you get, of course, if you're looking at stars and starlight traveling through space, it goes in a pretty much a nice straight line. Okay, it does get distorted by space-time and large gravity like clusters and things like that. So it can get distorted, but generally it's in a fairly straight line. So if you're looking at a star, it should be nice point source. Well, of course, it doesn't always do that, because that starlight has to take the last bit of its journey is about 100 kilometers through our atmosphere, and that gets distorted. So the problem with trying to make fine measurements of stars' apparent movement against background stuff as we trundle around the sun is that if you're photographing on the surface of the Earth, your star picture can be a little bloated. So you're not going to see that movement, because the star is, as it's building the picture in the camera, it's kind of moving around all over the place. So it's very hard to actually pinpoint where that star is relative to the other one. So you can't do fine measurements. You can only do quite coarse measurements. So of course, for a long period of time, we could only do this parallax measurement on fairly close stars. So it was a way of telling, how far away is Alpha Centauri, how far away is Sirius, all these ones which are relatively close. Anyway, in 2016, Gaia got launched, of course. In fact, well, actually, not before that. Hipparchos was the satellite, the first one to do this. I think it was the first one, or one of the
Yeah, he
first ones.
parked with you.
Yeah, so this got launched quite a long time ago. I think it was the 80s? Yeah, sometime then. And that measured the parallax, we call this all distance, to 120,000 of the brightest stars in the sky.
Including the Pleiades.
Yeah, continuing the Pleiades. So this was amazing, because all of a sudden we actually got some reasonably accurate figures on how far away these stars were. We didn't know how far away they were before that. In fact, there was a lot of speculation on just how far away some of these stars were.
And so, all these people who pretend we've been visited by aliens, had they not,
Had they known just how far stuff away is, they would you
they would
probably
have shut up.
be
Yeah.
yeah. So, yeah, because they're a long way away.
So,
So,
how far away is the nearest star?
Proxima Centauri is the nearest star to us, and that's it's a red dwarf. It's 4.1 light years away, and light years is roughly 10 trillion kilometers. So you're talking 40 trillion kilometers thereabouts. That's a long, long way. Now you think about the Earth traveling 30 kilometers per second going around the sun. That's a long, long way. That's take us a long time. How long would that take us? 30 kilometers per second.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Excellent.
We could calculate it. I'll just use my calculator. I hope my calculator can have enough numbers in it for, what is it? 10 trillion, 40 trillion, 40, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, millions, billions, trillions. There we go. That's a lot of zeros. That's 12, 13 zeros to get 40 trillion. Right. Divided by 30 kilometers per second. Wow, that's an extraordinarily long amount of seconds.
Yes.
So the Earth traveling at its current speed It's going to take us 1, 2, 3, 4, 1.3 trillion years to get to Alpha Centauri. Oh no, 1.3 trillion seconds to get to Alpha Centauri. So it's a long way away.
Yeah, it is a long way away.
Or 374,000 years. So if the Earth, say the Sun just disappeared, but it disappeared right at the time that we were on a trajectory heading towards Alpha or Proxima
So we
Centauri.
get swung in the orbit
Yeah, we
and
get the
fly.
big, yep. So we're going out on a tangent from our orbit. It
Yeah.
would take the Earth, yeah, 374,000 years to get to Proxima Centauri at the speed we're hurtling around the Sun at the moment. So that's the star that's closest to the Sun, which is a long, long way away.
And we can't travel at the speed of light because we can't.
No, well, yeah, if we could travel at speed light, of course, we'd get there in 4.1 years, which is, of course, a lot quicker.
Wow, so distances are enormous, and it's really hard to get your head around all these concepts about space, because it is hard to get your head around these concepts, is they're weird, and I think we are used to our paradigm here on Earth, and we're used to our daily lives and whatever it is that we're doing, and we extrapolate and we think about everything in terms of Earth happenings, right? So we think, oh, aliens must exist and aliens must have been visited us, because why wouldn't they exist and stuff. So another question is, do you believe in aliens? So we get this quite a lot, then I always say to these people, I don't believe in aliens. I am an astrobiologist. I'm looking for them, but with science. And it's a bit kind of like, oh, really? Because people want me to say, oh, yeah, I believe in aliens. You can't believe in stuff if you use science. Well, I mean, you can believe, but then you can go there and prove it and disprove it, right?
I believe in aliens.
You do?
Yeah, no, if
Yeah.
they're given the right opportunities, they'll succeed in life. I really believe in them. I believe they've got,
What if
good
they're
on them. Go, aliens. Oh, you mean, do I believe in their existence?
Yeah,
Well,
well, that's the question. Do you believe in aliens?
the universe is real big. There's a lot of stars. There's a lot of planets. We think there's a trillion planets in our galaxy, and there's, around 2 trillion galaxies. So that's a lot of planets. Is there life on at least
Now,
one other one of them?
wait. The
Yes, probably.
key ingredient here in this conversation is that everything in this universe that we can see, which is known as the baryonic matter, is made of the same stuff. Chemistry works in the same way. The laws of physics are the same. We see stars that function exactly the same. So it's not like there's a star that behaves differently or gets upset and leaves to another universe, or
Well, stars do some weird things
they do
in the
weird
universe.
things, though. They do. So everything in our universe works exactly in the same way. So if you combine atoms, they will always follow the laws of chemistry. That's why you must learn your periodic table at school, because even if you go to Mars, you're going to use the same periodic table.
We don't have to learn as long as
No,
you've got a copy.
you
As long
have
as
to
you've got
learn
a
it. It's a fun thing to do. I
well,
love
long as you got a
periodic table. It's
yeah,
the
long as you've got
best.
a copy of it nearby.
What if you lose
I've
it?
got an app on my phone.
There's a very cool song that you can learn, and it's
Don't.
really easy. No.
Right, we've just about run out of time.
Okay, so do we believe in aliens?
Well, yes. So that was your
You
question.
believe in aliens?
Well,
And
no.
I'm looking for them.
Yeah. So the universe is big enough that they're probably out there. Now, the other question that relates to that: have they ever visited us? No, I don't think so. Space is too big. It's hard for them to travel
You
around.
don't think so, or you don't know so?
Well, how can you say you don't know?
But I don't know, you said you don't think so.
Well, we don't think so. The evidence of aliens visiting Earth, there isn't any evidence. You have a lot of people speculating and saying, oh, look, I've seen weird lights in the sky. But when it comes to actually producing evidence, the evidence isn't there.
But they do that because they say, oh, aliens have built all these enormous structures, and they've built all these, I don't know, cathedrals and pyramids and all of things. And every time someone says that, I always remind them that we're actually very smart. Humankind is very smart.
Well, imagine how the poor Egyptians feel every time someone
Yeah.
says that aliens built
Alien
their
built
pyramids.
their
Egyptians are
structure.
like, no. We built that.
Yeah, we're
Yeah.
smart
Yeah.
people.
And you
We're
get
smart enough.
someone who's just researched YouTube for 20 minutes,
Yeah.
buried down a rabbit hole, declares that the pyramids were built by aliens. The Egyptians are like, "Well, no. That's we built that.
So
That's our people. We built
every time we
that."
say that, we take away the magnificent thing that is the human
And
race.
the achievements that people have done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on this very lovely note, thank you very much. And thank you to Marina once again
And the team Arrow
and
FM.
to Zimmer RFM. And we'll see you next time. Well, hear you next time. Well, you hear us next time. So clear skies.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star
Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari. Star Safari.